Somebody raise your hand. I'm going to ask you some questions this morning to see if you're with us. The book of Revelation, the last book of the Bible. And it's good to have you here. What's your first name?
Bobby,
good to have you, Bobby. Welcome. All right. Wonderful. And Bobby's here. What's your first name?
Carrie.
Yep. All right. Bobby and Carrie are here. Good to see them. So the book of Revelation, what does apocalypse mean? Yes.
A revealing,
and opening up. And what is it opening up in the book of Revelation? It's uncovering something. It's to make bare naked. What is it making bare? Eddie?
The life of Jesus Christ, the gospel of
him. Yeah, Jesus Christ in his second coming glory. Remember when he came the first time, he just looked like an ordinary man. He was not impressive. I remember when Jack Hiles came out and had built the world's largest Sunday school. He came out and he said, "You probably were waiting to meet Jack Hiles, and I came out and you thought I was the janitor, you know." And hey, Tavon, and he said, "But really, I'm Jack Hiles." And that's the way it was with Jesus. If you saw Jesus in his first coming, you'd be like, "Not impressive. He's just an ordinary man. He's not impressive at all." All right. And we do have a nursery, by the way, right back there.
We tried it.
You tried it? All right. So he came in his first coming and he wasn't impressive. But on the Mount of Transfiguration, his inner glory shined through and they saw his glory. And when he comes back, it's not going to be a secret rapture. It's not going to be some clothes laying down and people are just going to be taken out. Thief in the night. You've heard that. Now, that's in the Bible, thief in the night. But he's not going to come to us as a thief in the night. He's going to surprise the world. That's what it means. But they're going to see him when he comes back. And they're going to be scared and they're going to hide and they're going to be mourning and crying. It's not going to be a happy time for the world, but it will be for us. So the second coming is an uncovering of Jesus in all of his glory. And that's what the revelation is all about. Now, we've been breaking these seals. All right. And this is a book here. It's called a scroll, but it's a book. And there was writing on the inside and outside. It was all sealed up. And the scroll itself is not yet opened. But what is the writing? What does this scroll represent, this book represent when it comes to the revelation? Diane?
The wrath of God.
Yes, it's the day of the Lord wrath. Now, there has been wrath of God. Yeah, you could just get them in Sunday school. Each kid has a class. So there is a day of the Lord wrath that's coming. Now, was it the wrath of God when God poured out the flood on the earth? Yeah, that was the wrath of God. It's like the day of the Lord, except the day of the Lord is mainly by fire. But the day of the Lord is different than other wrath of God. Now, there's wrath of God in God giving people up to their idolatry, giving people up to their fornication, just letting them go into their drugs, letting them go into their immorality. When God gives you up, that's not a good thing. When he just lets you go, he lets you get away with it. He lets you get away with it. That's the wrath of God. That's what Romans 1 said. God what? Gave them up. Because they hold the truth in unrighteousness. So God just lets them go with it. They have the truth of creation, but they choose evolution. Okay, I'll let you be evolutionists. And if you want to think that you're evolved from animals, I'll let you live like animals on the Pensacola beach during springtime. And you'll lay out there like dogs and cats and fornicate on the beach. I'll let you go into homosexuality and your drag queens and all of that. You're going to throw me out, I'll let you go. That's the wrath of God. He's given people up. He's angry. Now, but the wrath of God during the day of the Lord's wrath is no. He comes publicly. And he shows himself publicly. And he makes himself known publicly. All right? And that is the wrath of God that's going to come on this world. Now, that's going to be, don't miss this, that's going to be the end of the world. Sometimes people say it's not the end of the world that you're going. Well, this will be the end of the world. When this happens, it will be the end of the world. And it could happen in your life and my life. It's going to happen sometime in the future. So, six seals have already been broken. And then the wrath of God. Now, wait a minute. What do each of these seals represent?
The
Are they the wrath of God? Are they the judgments of God, these six seals or seven seals here? No, they're not. What are they, Brother Joe?
There are certain things that must happen, come about before the wrath of God begins.
Yes. There are things that must happen immediately before the wrath of God begins. And what period of time in prophecy do all of these seven seals, hey, good to see you, Kareem. What time do all these seven seals get broken? Yeah, come on in, guys. We're studying the Revelation. Good to see you, Kareem and Jamie. What time period is that in history? Now, some of you are new to this, so don't worry. You'll learn as we go. Raise your hand if you know. What period of time is it? Diane. It's called the 70th week of Daniel. And does anybody know how many years is the 70th week of Daniel? Joe knows. Anybody else? Raise your hand if you know. Cynthia knows. Diane knows. How many years is the 70th week of Daniel when all of these things will happen? And by the way, Eddie knows. They're the most important years in prophecy that's coming. And that more prophecy will be fulfilled during this brief period of time than in any time for the past 2,000 years. And when it happens, Revelation 1 says they're going to shortly come to pass, which means boom, 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 one right after another. In this brief period of time, all these seven seals will be broken, and then the wrath of God will fall. And when do they take place? How many years? Brother Eddie?
7 years.
Daniel's 70th week. You find that in Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And I asked a question to the class. How many believe the church will enter into the 70th week and continue through most of the 70th week? How many believe that? Raise your hand. All right, you may put it down. How many believe, no, the church will be out of here before the 7 years? Raise your hand. Okay. The ones that were in the majority, you're right. And you've been studying the Bible with me because I used to believe we'd be out of here before this, but I found out that is contrary to the Bible.
What changed your mind, Pastor?
What changed my mind? The Bible. I just kept studying it.
What verses are you talking about that changed your mind?
Oh, that's a whole study. That's what we're studying. I mean, all these verses that I'm telling you in this class, I began to see them.
It's going to be an aha moment.
It was just dawning on me as I studied it, and it was like, it just got overwhelming, and that I couldn't stop it. And my wife said, well, don't preach it until you know for sure. And I held off, you know.
A guy said, many preachers said we're going all the way through. He said, because this is the first resurrection at the end, they said.
Yeah.
So you get these kind of people.
Yeah, yeah. So we go into the 7 years, go to the beginning of sorrows. And then we go into the Great Tribulation, which begins in the middle when the global government takes over. And then we're raptured out of here before the day of the wrath. Because remember, Jesus said in Matthew 24 that the tribulation of those days will be cut short.
It's not going to be nice being on the earth at this time.
No, but if it wasn't cut short, Andy, no flesh would be saved. And in the context, he's talking about no elect flesh. No flesh that doesn't take the mark would be saved. So if he doesn't cut it short, and what will cut it short? It's the sixth seal of Revelation, the sixth seal on this scroll. And what happens that cuts it short, Sarge?
Cosmic darkening.
The grid goes out. The sun, the moon, the star. It's total blackness. You can't see your hand in front of your face. That will stop the beast and the Antichrist from killing believers and people that don't take the mark. And then the rapture will take place between the sixth and seventh seal. Now, right now, that's where we are, between the sixth and seventh seal. So in Revelation chapter 7, we have two events. And what two events take place in Revelation 7 between after the sixth seal is broken and the seventh, before the seventh seal is broken? What two events? Diane knows, Eddie knows. All right, Sarge knows. Let's go with Sarge.
No, one is the rapture.
One is the rapture. That's the second event, yes. And that's when the church is taken out. People look for the rapture. It's in Revelation 7. You can read it. and it's after the sixth seal. And you see the whole church in heaven praising God for salvation. What salvation? Final salvation. You've delivered us out of the world. We've endured till the end of the tribulation, and we've been saved. He that endures to the end shall be saved. That's what it's talking about. Raptured out of this world.
What verse in seven is a rapture? What verse are you pointing to seven?
Chapter seven?
Yeah, which verse are you saying is a rapture?
Yeah, okay, well, we'll review it. Go to chapter seven real quick. Chapter seven real quick. It's unmistakable. By the way, chapter 4, John goes up to heaven, and people there say, oh, that's the rapture at the beginning of the 7 years. That's not the rapture. That's one guy going to heaven. The Apostle John, that's not the rapture. What are you talking about? Look at chapter 7, though. Andy just asked for the verse. Look at verse 10. He said, oh, no, not 10, 9. Look at verse 9. He said, after this I beheld, after what? After all this happened. He said, after this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongue, not just John, and stood before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And look at verse 10, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne. What salvation? We've been saved out of the tribulation and brought to heaven. And all the angels, and the angels are the ones that gathered them. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes? Whence came they? He's asking the Apostle John. Look at what John says, verse 14. I said, sir, thou knowest. In other words, I'm not sure. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. That's the verse. That's the rapture. And the church is made up of every kindred, tongue, tribe, and nation. They've gone into the 70th week. They've met the beast and the Antichrist. They've overcome, like it says in Revelation. You have to be an overcomer. If you're saved and you take the mark, you were never saved. You thought you were saved. You didn't believe. Because you would be an overcomer. And God will not let you take that mark.
These could be my perspective. These could be the people that died during that great tribulation. And they had to die for the faith, and they came out. Just like the ones under the altar earlier. That was it chapter 5?
No, the ones that died are under the altar. These are the ones that are alive, and they came out of great tribulation, and I mean, they were alive. In other words, some will be dead, yes, but
many are going to die during the tribulation.
Yeah, many are going to die, but not all.
This is what I think they are.
No, you're wrong. You're definitely wrong, because those that are alive and remain will be caught up to meet them in the air, and will ever be with the Lord. And it's very clear in Matthew 24, and I don't have time to just deal with you. In Matthew 24, and by the way, Matthew 24 goes with the book of Revelation. And Matthew 24 says that he that endureth till the end shall be saved. What's he talking about? No, it's not Jews. Well, let me prove that to you. Go to Mark's Gospel, because that's in Matthew. Go to Mark's Gospel, and he's speaking to the Jews in Matthew, because remember, Matthew was written to the Jews. But look at Mark's Gospel. And in Mark's Gospel, Jesus is talking about the second coming of himself, and look what he says. Now, I'm sorry, Mark 13. And look at verse 35. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even, or at midnight, or at cock crowing, or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. Now, what is he saying? Here's what people say that believe, like Andy believes, and I heard it in seminary, that the apostles were representing the Jews. And Jesus is speaking now to the 12 apostles, right? And he's saying that he's speaking just to the Jews now, the Jewish people, that will be in the 70th week. The church won't be here. Church is out of here. Well, where do you have the church out of here at the beginning of the 7th week? You don't. You don't have it in Revelation. There's no rapture in chapter 4. That's just one man. You have no rapture till chapter 7, which is after the sixth seal. And by the way, the wrath of God doesn't begin until after the sixth seal.
It's not mentioned until 5 because once the church is gone, and then it suddenly appears again when they start believing after the two witnesses preach for 3.5 years. Then you see the 144,000 get saved and get sealed.
But the church is not appointed to wrath. And the wrath of God, Andy, does not begin until after the sixth seal. Read it in Revelation chapter 6. It says, now is the wrath of God. It wasn't happening. This is not the wrath of God in the beginning of sorrows. This is not the wrath of God in the tribulation. The church is not appointed to the wrath of God. Now listen, I don't have time. But the church is not appointed. But the church is not appointed to the wrath of God. And that's why the rapture happens there. And you see it in chapter 7. I just read it to you. It's very clear. But you have no rapture in chapter 4. You have no rapture in Revelation. The Revelation is all about the second coming. The rapture should be there. It is there in chapter 7. It's after the sixth seal, before the wrath of God. All right. So anyway, let me go back to Mark 13, because Andy said it's just the Jews. Notice he's talking to the apostles. But wait a minute, the apostles anyway don't represent just the Jews, because you go to Ephesians 2, who are the apostles part of? They're the foundation of what group? Raise your hand if you know. Sarge?
Gentiles.
Well, not just Gentiles, they're the representative of what group? The church. The Bible says they're Jew, Gentile, and church of God. They don't represent the Gentiles, they don't represent the Jews, Andy. They represent the church of God. But even that, notice what Jesus said in Mark 13. He said, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. And then verse 37, and what I say unto you, the apostles, I say unto what?
All.
Watch. Watch for what? Watch for these signs. Now, you're free to believe like Andy believes. I believed it for years. But I warn you, you must be ready to watch. And there's going to be a generation that's going to go into, not the wrath of God over here, because we're not appointed to wrath, 1 Thessalonians 5:9. But you're going to go into the 70th week. You're going to go into the beginning of sorrows, the great tribulation. After all we've studied, I believe you can't miss it unless you're caught up in man's tradition and you're blind to the clear systematic teaching of the Word of God. But I'm hoping you'll see it. And anyway, let's go on. All right, let's go on. By the way, let me say this. We had a key up here, and Matthew 24 goes with Revelation chapter 6 that we've looked at, and chapter 7 and chapter 8. Matthew 24 is the teaching in the Gospels that most clearly goes along with the chapters in Revelation that we've been studying. Now, we're going to get into the last seal here. When we break this seal, where do we break it? Where is this seal broken? Raise your hand if you know. What chapter? I'm sorry. Yes.
Eight.
Chapter 8. All right, so we're going to break this last seal, and in chapter 8. But wait a minute. Let's go to verse 1 of chapter 8. It says, and when he'd opened the seventh seal, okay, well, then we're going to open it. That's the first thing we're going to do is open this seventh seal. Now, I needed a knife last time, but I think I let my fingernail grow long enough that we may get it. Wow, I'm just going to let it go on the ground. We're going to have to sweep it up. All right, here we go. Are you ready? There, it's broken. What do you put this? All right. Now the scroll is open. When we open this scroll, then the wrath of God can be poured out, right? It can be poured out on the earth. When does the wrath of God start? Not here at the beginning of the 7 years when Andy and some believe they're going to be raptured. No, no, it doesn't begin yet. First of all, you got to have the beginning of sorrows. Then you got to have the world government with the beast and the Antichrist. By the way, By the way, let me give you another proof that you're going to face the beast in the Antichrist, just unless you're caught up with what Andy said. Go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And Andy, I appreciate you being so brave to take all this bashing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. And this is clearly written to the church, amen? So if you believe like he does, then you got to deal with this scripture too. All right, here it is, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 1. He says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, does anybody know what the word coming there is? There's different words for coming. Erkomai, they're the word epiphania, they're the word apocalypsis. Does anybody know what the word in the Greek is for coming there? Yes.
Parousia.
What does parousia mean? It means coming and continued events that must take place while Christ is present. When Christ comes back, he is present. His glory is present in the atmosphere around the earth. By the way, the Jehovah's Witnesses said that happened in 1920. It's still happening, they're saying, because they couldn't deal with his coming, you know. But anyway, his coming and continued presence. So that's what it's talking about when Christ comes back. So here's what he says. "Now we beseech you, brethren," that's church people, not Jews, obviously. He's writing to the Thessalonian church. Am I right there? Is he writing to the Thessalonian church, Andy?
Yeah.
He says, "We beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him." When he comes back, we're going to be gathered to him. What's that called when we're gathered? What do we call that? The rapture, correct. All right, then it says, "That ye be not soon shaken in mind or troubled in spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, what's the day of Christ? The rapture. He just said it, our coming again. He's saying, don't be troubled that the day of Christ is at hand. It's not.
They left already, right?
What's that?
They thought the rapture had taken place and they were left already. Weren't they thinking that?
They thought the day of Christ was at hand. Not they left. It doesn't say left. How could they read the letter if they left?
Well, no, they think they missed it.
Oh, they missed it. Okay. Yeah. But he's saying that the day of Christ is immediately at hand. That's the whole point here. Don't think that the day of Christ is at hand, all right? So then go on, just read what the scripture says, at hand. And then verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means." What's the day of Christ again? The what?
The rapture.
Say it out loud, the what?
The rapture.
All right. "Let no man deceive you," whether it's Brother Andy here, or me, or anybody. "Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come what? The rapture shall not come what? Except there come a falling away first." Now that falling away is the word in the Greek called ho apostasia. And what it means is the people of God departing and making a covenant with the which is what the Jewish people are going to do when they give up their sovereignty, which will happen right at the beginning of the 70th week. So first, the Jewish people have to give up their sovereignty, and he will give them the right to worship on the Temple Mount. When you see that, okay, that's one event that has to happen before what?
The rapture.
Before what?
The rapture.
Correct. Before the rapture. And that begins right at the beginning of the 70th week. But he's not done, "except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed." Now, when is the man of sin going to be revealed? When he goes into the temple and his image is put in the temple by the Antichrist. When is that going to happen? At the beginning of the 70th week or when? We just talked about the beginning. When, Joe?
Right in the middle.
Right in the middle. So,
the Great Tribulation.
So this has to happen first.
What's the falling away?
I just told you, the apostasy of the Jewish nation to make a covenant with death here, where they're going to sign away their sovereignty so that they can have legal right to worship in their temple according to their sacrifice, their Jewish sacrifices. That's the apostasy. Okay? It doesn't matter what it is, because the next thing here, it says that the man of sin has to be revealed first before the rapture. Those two things have to happen before the rapture. And then the rapture will happen. When does the rapture happen? Sometime after this. I've already shown you when. Okay, I just had to digress because I wanted to give you that in case you're ever hit with that and you have to come to a scripture. Well, there's only one view in the scripture, though. This is what the Word of God is clearly saying. If you look at it, all right, I got to go on. But it's clearly in scripture. I don't see how anybody can't see it myself. But I didn't see it for a long time because I didn't want to see it. Okay? But it's there. And I'm going to declare it so clearly because it needs to be declared. Because you need to be ready for it. And you need to be ready for the revelation. And a lot of people, it says what? Let no man what you?
Deceive you.
And deceiving you is saying you're going to be raptured and the day of Christ is going to appear before the apostasy and before the man of sin is revealed. That's a deception. And some of you have gotten deceived by it. And I was deceived by it.
Most scholars believe a pre-trib, right? Rapture?
Most American scholars. Because it all started with Margaret MacDonald with her charismatic vision. And then she got Jan Darby to systematize it and teach it to the Plymouth Brethren. And then it spread all over America. But throughout all of history and worldwide, people believe exactly as I'm saying, that it's a pre-wrath, post-trib rapture and not a pre-trib rapture. Okay, thank you. That helps because we need to hear these things. All right, let's go on. And chapter 8, he says, and when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of a half hour. So here you go. He's just opened the seventh seal. Now, God, pour out the wrath. We've been waiting. He said, wait a minute. Wait another half hour. And it's going to be calm. Just like it's real calm in here right now. Calm before the storm. God, when he gets angry, doesn't just blow off. He lets his anger out in a... You ever seen a real strong military? Like, I mean, our military is not what it was. But have you ever gone to a funeral and see the military do a funeral? How many have seen the military do it? And I've done many funerals, and then the military does part of my funeral, and I always love what they do. And it's with order, it's with discipline, it's with decorum. Your son had that. It is so honorable. And this is what we have with the army of God. The army of God is made up of angels in heaven. And they're going to pour out his wrath. And so here we see now God's going to pour out his wrath. The greatest military is God's military with the greatest power. And he does it with total calm and control and decorum. And so it's power under control. So here he goes now, and he's going to pour out his wrath. And so instead of just boom, all right now, no, it's a half hour of just calm in heaven and no noise or anything like that. And then notice what happens. He said, and I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. So remember the four angels that stopped the wind from blowing?
Mm-hmm.
Now four of these angels are part of the seven, and they're going to stand before God, and somebody is going to hand them trumpets. Just like. Now, who do you think would hand them the trumpets to blow the wrath of God? Yep. Jesus. Just like Jesus took the book from the Father, and Jesus is the one to break the seals, Jesus is going to pour out the wrath. And he's the one that became the Lamb of God, but now he's the lion that has to pour out the wrath. And so he's giving the trumpets to the angels. And again, when God pours out his wrath, it's going to be measured. He's not going to pour it out all at once universally. Does anybody know in chapter 8 what part of the earth only is affected by these first trumpet judgments? Yes.
One third.
Yeah, just one third of the earth. The rest of the earth will be affected, but they get to see it and watch it. It's almost like more time to think about it, you know? And so he gives these seven angels their trumpet, and the wrath of God is getting ready. still calm and peaceful. Now, verse number 3 says, and another angel came, so this is a fifth angel, and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar, which was before the throne. Now, one censer, what's a censer? A big container, like a shallow bowl. It's made of pure gold. And he has in that censer, and we'll go back and look at it here, he has in that golden censer the prayers of all the saints. And so he's got the prayers of all the saints contained in that golden censer.
It's like a Catholic funeral when they have the censers.
Yes, yeah, exactly. And they shake those. I've seen that, yeah. Yeah, that's exactly right. Yeah, it's like that. We'll talk about that, but it is, yeah, it's like that. And they put smoke, you know, they do that. You've seen it. I'm sure many of you have seen it. That's right. So he's got the censer. But does anybody remember in chapter 5 how many censers there were? There were plural censers, not just one. So the beast and the 24 elders, who I believe are high-ranking angels, they had the censers, plural. And in the censers, they had what in each censer? We already said it, but what? Yeah.
Prayers of the saints.
Prayers of the saints, right. Now they're dumping their censer into this one censer. So now all the prayers of the saints, see the decorum and the order? All the prayers of the saints are contained in this one censer that this fifth angel holds. And he doesn't pour the censer out on the earth. He doesn't put fire in there and pour judgment out on the earth. What does he do with the censer? Well, that's the prayers of the saints. He takes perfume or incense with it and offers it up where? To what? To what?
God.
So it goes up to God. And what we need to realize is that God is going to pour out his wrath upon the earth. And what is the thing that is featured that is most going to be used now to cause things to happen on earth and to accomplish God's plan on earth? It's your prayers and my prayers. It's prayers of God's people. And they've been stored up in heaven all these times because it's a specific prayer. What are the prayers asking for? Yep.
Come, thy will be done.
Yes, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in earth as it is in heaven. See, God's will is perfectly done in heaven, but on earth it's not done. Yes, that's right. So this is going to be the judgment, the end of the world, so that God's kingdom can come and his will can be done. And this is what people have been praying for how long? Ever since Adam and Eve fell. And the prayers have been stored and stored and stored. So every time you pray that prayer, it's being stored in heaven. So keep praying, storing it up. Pray it. Pray it. Whenever you pray for God to make right what's wrong. You know, I'm preaching on Sunday. Sunday morning's coming. Where's the God of Jack Hiles? Easter Sunday morning's coming. That's my message. And it's all for that. And so there's coming a day very soon. It's going to happen right here after the rapture and after the sealing of the children of Israel that this wrath is going to be poured out. But first in heaven, these prayers must be offered up by this angel. They've been stored up, all of your prayers and mine and others, and they're going to be up with this perfume. Now, when you smell perfume, I like a good perfume. Smells good. And so what am I saying? That makes the prayer acceptable to God. In the Old West, cowboys used to not wash themselves. And they would come into town after being cowboys, and they would smell so bad. The ladies in the town, you know, they wanted a cowboy. But they smelled so bad. That was a problem. So does anybody know what the ladies would do when the cowboy came by? Joe?
I'm going to take a guess. They poured their perfume either on the cowboys or they poured it into the...
You don't pour it on the cowboy. You don't do that. Not if you want the cowboy. They put it in their handkerchiefs and they would flick them when the cowboy came by, and the perfume would come in their nose, and they would smell the perfume, not the cowboy. And the cowboy looked good to them then, you know, with his cowboy hat. And so that's what God is doing here. He's taking your prayers and mine, but sometimes we stink. Sometimes we stink. And God smells his perfume. Now, Ephesians 5, verse 1 tells us what is a sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God. What is the perfume? What is the sweet-smelling savor in the nostrils of God? Diane? Well, not in Ephesians 5, 1. It's the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what I believe is being mixed with our prayers that makes them meritorious, that makes them accepted with God, is the perfume of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for us. And so that makes us acceptable to God. And he doesn't smell our stink of our sin. He just smells the sacrifice. And he's pleased, and he can hear our prayers for the kingdom of God to come. When you come to God, you should always pray, therefore, in what? In Jesus' name, right? And so here you have that going on in preparation for this. So let's go on, and we're only going to do one thing here, so we're almost done. It says the smoke of the incense comes before God. Then verse 5, and the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. Now, what happens when he takes that censer? He's emptied it now of the prayers. It's empty. And what does he put in the censer? Somebody? Cynthia? Fire, not the prayers. The prayers go to God. Prayers go to God. Now it's empty. He puts fire in there, and he casts the fire on the earth. When he casts the fire on the earth, what are you going to have? You're going to have hail coming. And let's look at this, and we got to move on. We're almost done. It says, first of all, there's going to be lightnings in verse 5 and earthquake. It's going to be a big earthquake. And the seven angels, which had the seven trumpets, verse 6, prepared to sound. The first angel sounded. There followed hail, fire, and blood that were cast upon the earth. And the third part of the trees were burned up, and all the green grass was burned up. That's where we're going to stop right there. So once this is poured out, it's causing an earthquake. Now here's what I think is happening here. The earthquake is causing mountains to erupt in volcanoes. And they're shooting hails, not of ice, but of stones, molten rock. And they're coming down the earth. Remember, it hasn't been raining since the middle of the 70th week. It hasn't been raining because the two witnesses stopped the rain. And then they stopped the wind. So when that molten rock hits the earth, one-third of the earth is going to erupt into forest fires. It's going to burn up all the green grass, all the trees. And that includes fruit trees. Cattle aren't going to be able to eat. It's going to be terrible over that part of the earth. But it's only one-third of the earth. And so this is God's wrath as he begins to destroy everything that man has done on the earth to bring in his kingdom. Next week, we'll look at the rest of the wrath of God, the other six trumpets. But we'll stop there. I have the notes here, but I do believe that you only have part of them. So you can get them from me, and then Miss Alicia will give you the rest. I think you need a second page. Amen.